There are over 500,000 kids in foster care across the United States, and making sure they're well taken care of takes a village. I'm Erin Lindstrom, and this is Foster Care Aware, a production brought to you by Tidewater Friends of Foster Care with support from the Barry Robinson Center. If you've had it on your heart to become a foster parent, volunteer, donor, advocate, or just want to learn more, you're in the right place. For more information on how to move forward, head to fostercareaware.org/next steps. And now I'm thrilled to share today's segment with you. Hey, I'm Erin Lindstrom, and I am joined by the founder and director of Tidewater Friends of Foster Care, Audra Bullock, and Lakeitha Roussin and Felicia Lagarde, who are family service specialists with the Chesapeake Department of Human Services. Thank you, ladies, for joining us this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we are excited to chat with you and learn more about foster care in Chesapeake. So to start us off, I would love if you would both sort of just introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about what you do inside of human services. So Lakeitha, would you mind starting us off?
Yes, as you stated, I'm Lakeitha Roussin. I am the post-adoption worker with Chesapeake Department of Human Services. I work with families after the adoption has finalized.
Awesome.
Okay.
And Felicia, can you tell us a little bit about you and your role?
Sure. Like you said, my name is Felicia Lagarde, and I am the Resource Family Coordinator for Chesapeake Department of Human Services. So my role is I recruit and train foster parents for our agency.
Amazing. And Felicia, about how many children are in care in Chesapeake? And what would you say, like, how great is the need for foster parents right now?
I would say the range is about between 50 to 70. Children in care, that number fluctuates as the need for a child to come into care rises. But there is a great need for supportive resource parents in our city. You know, we would like to have more homes available when needed than to have a lot of children coming in and not have the homes to provide that secure and nurturing for our family, for our children.
Can you tell us a little bit about what kind of parents you're looking for? What makes a successful foster parents for the children in care in Chesapeake?
We're looking for parents that are willing to love our children, meet them where they are. Unfortunately, our children, they are traumatized when they come into care and being removed from the family that they do know, that's yet another trauma. So just understanding mental health diagnoses, developmental delays, but basically just meeting the child where they are and providing them with that love, security, and structure, because so many of them do lack that. We're looking for families that's just ready to provide what that child needs.
That takes a lot of flexibility, right?
We need people with a lot of flexibility that can go to doctor's appointments, because we do have children that come into care that may have a medical condition that requires a lot of appointments. So it just takes someone that's dedicated, because this is, being a foster parent is a job within itself, because it takes a lot, but it really just takes someone with the dedication and motivation to want to love, nurture, and help a child succeed in life.
It's a lot of hard work there, and it's not easy. I know, as a foster parent myself. Can you tell us a little bit more about the age ranges of children that you have? You have everybody from newborn.
We have everybody from
all the way up.
Newborn all the way to in their 20s, because we do have a program that's still in the foster care. It's called Fostering Futures. So those are our teenagers to our older children that can remain in care. But we get them in as much as just newborn out of the hospital. It could be one child, it could be a sibling set of 2, 4, 6. We've had lots of sibling sets, and I mean, the need is just there.
Yeah, so we need families. We need families there waiting for these children, and to be the right fit for these kids.
Yes.
A little bit about the concept of Chesapeake Champions. This is very interesting to me. What are Chesapeake Champions?
Chesapeake Champions, we came up with that name. The former resource supervisor, Ms. Kim Baskerville, when we connected with you with the YMCA, I believe it was back in 2018. I'll never forget because I was on crutches. And we were at the YMCA and we had a children, families there to sign up for their Y memberships. And the person that worked there at the desk, she said, Chesapeake Foster Care. And we was like, no. And the little boy, he was like, what does that mean? I'm not in foster care. And because he didn't know he was in foster care. His dad was dad. He didn't look at it as foster dad. And so we just said, when we go out and we're representing the agency and there's different activities our children are going to be a part of, we just go by Chesapeake Champions because they are our champions. And that's how we came up with the name.
It's beautiful, really, too, because I think it speaks to the strength of these children, the importance of their sense of belonging in a family.
Yes.
And I absolutely give you my sincere apologies for that designation of foster children. We try and be very careful not to identify children, but also kudos to having found families that wrap around these children so tightly that the children don't know the difference. I think that's absolutely incredible.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So Lakeitha, would you mind telling us a little bit more about the licensing process when it comes to working with Chesapeake Department of Human Services? I think a lot of people would love to know, like, how long does it take usually to become a foster parent? And tell us a little bit about the journey and what parents can expect.
Well, initially they would make contact with Ms. Lagarde. She has to do a assessment on the individual. They go through a series of questions with her so that she can find out if in fact this would be a person that would be a great fit for the children that we have in the city of Chesapeake. Once she does that and speaks with that individual, she usually will schedule a meeting with in-house staff, which consists of family services specialists, supervisors. It may also include our chiefs. Sometimes maybe the director may be sitting in as well. And what we do is we just go through. She may have a stack of 15. She may have a stack of 40. And it's just a stack of people that have reached out to her by way of email or by phone call. All of them initially ends with a phone conversation because she has to gather that information. We sit in a room together. We all go through these. She read them off to us, tell us what type of parents they are, what their backgrounds are, what they have given her information that is critical to help us decide if this family is going to be able to meet the needs of our children. It's called the vetting process. So we all sit in, those of us that have been seasoned enough to know what type of homes we're looking for the city of Chesapeake. Once we decide that, Ms. Lagarde will send out a invite to come to our Pride training. The Pride training is the Virginia State certified training that all foster parents have to go through before they can become licensed to foster and adopt, that they're duly approved to foster and adopt. So she will invite them in. Most of the time they will come in for an initial class. It's considered our orientation class. They'll come in, we'll give them all the information about what the requirements are, what type of paperwork they would need to complete, because there is extensive background checks and things. We really get into the family history of the family that would be looking to foster or adopt, because we have to know their information as well. And once they go through in-person class, which is 5 sessions, it consists of the 5 classrooms, which would actually be inside of Chesapeake Social Services. But due to COVID-19, Ms. Lagarde has been exceptional in doing virtual trainings. I don't know when they're going to be scheduled because her and I are still working through those. I try to assist her with those as much as possible. We did have one not too long ago, but that was specifically for our interstate compact, which is ICPC, for specific families. We occasionally have to do that, but normally it will consist of 5 classes in collaboration with an online. She would register them. They have to do online classes as well, to total 27 hours. Once that process is completed, she and I will both do a series of things, from home visits to background checks. And once we do all of that, the mutual family assessment is typed up. That is passed by the Ms. Lagarde supervisor. She reads it, then it goes on to our chief and on to our assistant director or director to sign off, because they have to say, have the final approval as to whether this family would meet our needs. So it could be a lengthy process. We try to do it within 90 days of them completing the class because of the timelines on backgrounds. But sometimes things come up with families and they're not able to complete the process. They don't have to redo the class if they do it, but they would have to go through the paperwork process all over again. So we try to do it as swiftly as possible. And most of the time, Ms. Lagarde definitely takes the lead on that. And myself and a couple of other staff will assist her with making sure that we get that done, because we may have 20 people at one time that we have to do that for, or we may only have 5 people that we have to do it for. But it's not a hard process. It's just a lengthy process.
So thanks, Lakeitha. And I want to maybe emphasize the point that the home study is about that process of finding the home that's going to fit these children, not how children can fit the home, right?
Absolutely.
The needs of these children, that you need to
learn. Absolutely.
From A to Z about a family. It can be very involved, and it should be, because we really need people that can heal for these children. So once parents are approved and licensed and have a placement, Felicia, can you tell us a little bit about the supports that are in place for foster families, their children, and the birth families? What does Chesapeake offer in the way of ongoing services and training?
So for our children, what happens is once a family is certified and they become a foster parent, a foster family with Chesapeake, I conduct monthly resource parent support groups. And we haven't been able to have them as of late because of COVID-19. But they have a monthly support group. They come in, and we have different community providers that may come in. We may have CIBH, which is our Chesapeake Integrated Behavior Health. We've had you come out. We have different agencies like NCG that offers different things that bring training of substance abuse, drug overdose. We have the police that come in to do a support group on gangs. So our parents are educated about the different things that our children, their children, may have either faced, they're going through. A big one for Lakeitha and I last year was the one on bullying and trauma, because it's very, very crucial for my parents to be trauma informed. It's not what happened to you, it's what can I do? Mm. You know, it's so we want to make sure that is one of our big ones. So we have a new one that we did last year right before the holidays, trauma and its impact on the brain and the development of the brain, of a child's brain. Because you could have a 17-year-old, and it's not always developmental delays. That child may have had some severe trauma and may not function as a 17-year-old because it's the trauma that their brain has endured. So educating our parents on that, getting them that support, or anything that they ask for, we try to get the get a community resource out to train it if we don't have the credentials to train it ourselves.
That's amazing, and it sounds like really like full-fledged, that there's a little bit of something for whatever you need. And it sounds like you work with parents too. So if they are really feeling like they need something, they can talk to you, and then that is brought into the equation as well.
Exactly. We work with CHKD, especially on abuse and neglect, because a lot of families don't know the impact of that. And being a former CPS worker for 14 years, I'll talk to them about it every time, you know, what to look for, you know, don't be afraid, you know, just if you see something, we give them foster parent notebooks, document it, because these are your babies. You're with them every day, all day. But if you notice something, and bring it to our concern so we can get you that support that you need, because you're not in it by yourself. Mm-hmm. And we always let them know they're never alone. We're always there.
I love that. And it sounds like you're really good at giving them the actual tools and like, here's how to do this. So if parents or prospective parents are coming to the table, it's not about needing to know how to do everything. It sounds like
that's
a really good job of actually teaching you the skills and how to do this. And here are different things you can try, and that it really is that community and that village that's wrapping around them. So that's incredible. Yes. Yes. Lakeitha, for parents who might be interested in adopting through foster care, can you talk to us a little bit about that and tell us, number one, is it an option? And if so, what kind of support is offered around that?
You say adoption, right? Okay. Yeah. With the same applies with the children once they are adopted. Felicia usually handles the front end on the foster care side with the foster care support groups. The same is offered on the back side. Once children have been adopted, we do offer support groups. And right now our groups are being conducted. The state has funding where they will pay a agency to come in and do our trainings if we don't do those ourselves. We've had a couple trainings recently. We just did one last Thursday night, I believe. And we've been doing them by Zoom because of the COVID-19. We usually would do those in person as well at social services. But United Methodist has been so gracious to help us with those post-adoption services because sometimes parents, after the adoption has finalized and a couple of years has passed, parents are seeing, you know, things that we may not have saw as an agency when the child initially came to us. So we want parents to know that we don't just stop there. We won't just leave you with the child. We understand, you know, you're bringing a child into your home, and we want it to be a continuum of services. So when they reach out to us, we try to refer them back for support services through United Methodist. It may be through Catholic Charities. We may even refer to you guys depending on what they are asking for. We know you guys in the past have helped us with memberships to the YMCA, because sometimes that's all it takes is just to get that kid into some type of activities. And we'll definitely pick up the phone and call you guys and say, hey, Audra, can you help us out with this? And you guys have given us brilliant ideas on how we can offer support services, whether on the front end or the back end. And like I said, we do the same. We do that monthly. We usually would do that monthly unless something prevents it, or if a phone call comes in, because definitely since I've been home because of the COVID-19, back and forth in the office at home, I still function 24 hours a day. I have parents that email me that may have a crisis on the weekend, so forth and so on, and I will tell them what to do, you know, at that moment. And like I say, my go-to is usually United Methodist because they work on weekends as well, and they can offer support services to the families over the weekend when we're not open Monday through Friday.
Perfect. And okay. So Lakeitha, I know not all kids will be available for adoption, right? How does that work? Like, because can you tell us a little bit? I know reunification needs to be the goal of all parents. So what kind of mindset do you need people to come in with in order to kind of see the full picture of both fostering and then potentially adopting?
Well, we always, when a child comes into care, that is always the primary goal, unless otherwise we get that upfront that they is not going to happen. Reunification may not happen if a child was dropped off and we can't find the family, something of that nature. But in most cases, reunification, and that will, Ms. Lagarde's unit, which is the foster care side, they work on reunification. But for whatever reason, if that does not happen within that 12 to 18 months, which is the state's timeline for us, we try to do it in 12 months. But if it doesn't happen, we can have 18 months to work with that family. But if all else fails, usually the families that may already be fostering the children, they are usually the ones that are interested in adopting the children. So we continue to work with that family to assist them through the adoption. And that is usually done by Ricky Smith and Carlita are our adoption workers. And then I work the case once the children are adopted.
Got it. Okay. That's perfect. So that way people are coming, and everyone who signs up to be a resource parent or foster parent, they're saying yes to fostering. And then adoption is kind of down the line if we can't reunify for some reason.
Yep. Absolutely. Got
it. Okay. Perfect.
That's the way it works. Yes.
Yep. Okay. So if people are listening to this and they're interested in taking the next steps with Chesapeake Department of Human Services, Felicia, can you tell them what steps should they take next, or where should they reach out for more information?
Yes, they can always go to our city website, and they can contact me directly because I do the pre-screenings. The resource unit, we do the pre-screenings, and they can call me directly at 757-382-2000. 2249. You know, I don't normally dial myself. So yeah. But I just wanted to just clarify, not clarify, but include one thing. Our families, when they become certified, they're duly certified. They're duly certified to foster and adopt. So if a child is in the home with the family and that child does go changes to adoption and the parental rights have been terminated, then we, our families, they have first choice, you know, would they like to adopt their baby? And for the most part, they say yes. But we just also let it be known to our families that when children reach the age of 14, they do have a right to say whether or not they want to be adopted. And some of them don't because of loyalty to biological families. But we explain that, and our parents are very, they're very welcoming to that. And they still allow the child to remain in the home because that's still their child, whether they're adopted or not. So, you know,
so
but
beautiful.
Yes.
I love that because it's this concept of first, last, and right placement for a child in need. They're in crisis when they come into care, and you're trying to find a family that will be their solution as long as needed until they find their permanency. And that's whether back with birth family or if that family, that foster family, needs to become their permanent family. I think that's incredible. Exactly. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us today and telling our viewers about Chesapeake Department of Human Services. I know I've worked with you all for many years, and I can't say enough great things about the way you all do business and foster care and really partner with community bodies like us. So thank you so much for all you do.
And thank you for everything also, Ms. Audra. You help our children. It's just been amazing the 2 years I've been in Chesapeake. And when I first met you, your organization has been phenomenal in ensuring our children have something to look forward to. You bless them for birthdays, Christmas, and we can just call you. And if you can't find it, if you don't have it, you find it. So it's like, did we call Ms. Audra first? So we want to thank you as well, because you are phenomenal.
I love that. It takes a village. Yep. So yes. Thank you so much, each of you, for your work with the organization and also just as a human showing up for these kids and doing this work, because I know it is both hard work and heart work, and it is making such a difference. So thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And a big thank you for listening. Foster Care Aware is all about spreading the word about how we can help the kids who are in care in whatever capacity works for you. Tidewater Friends of Foster Care is here to help support you through the journey. Whether you want to be a foster parent, volunteer, donor, or advocate, head on over to fostercareaware.org/nextsteps to learn more.